Chapter 16.
What do you mean, gone?
Bowden practically yelled for the second time as we all rushed toward the small tent that served as the vendor stall for Brightwood Estates. Inside, there were tastefully arranged display tables. They were eye-catching in all the right places, and it was no wonder most of the shelves boasted empty space. The savvy cockatoo woman definitely knew how to make an inviting consumer atmosphere, that was for sure. But it was apparent from the long line of confused patrons coupled by the small jar of tipped-over honey, the saleswoman was missing, and my insides churned with worry. By now, the once cantankerous and manipulative socialite was fully adopted by my crew, and the fact she was unaccounted for was not going to fly. Whatsoever. Come on, we'll find her, I said, and led us back out into the chaos of the square. She can't have gone far. Do you both have weapons? Bowden removed the sandwich board contraption from around his neck and swiftly broke it down so he had a pair of nunchucking devices each devised from the leather of the shoulder straps.
Don't worry about us, boss,
Mel said, and caught the second set of chucks. Okay, spread out into these back alleys over here, I said, and rounded the row of tents so we could get at the narrow streets behind them. It's unlikely someone would have been able to take her out the front without you noticing them right away, Bowden.
Logical, he grunted. Mel and I'll take the streets to the east while you and Zoe take the west.
Holler if you find anything, I said, and then the four of us went off in our respective directions in our search for the cockatoo woman.
Vel?
Zoe called out, and her low voice ricocheted down the twisting alleys and bounced off the craggy stone walls. About two blocks away, I could hear Bowden's cry of,
Vella! Velralla!
I shouted, and we attempted to maintain as much of a grid pattern as we could, despite the dead ends and the unnamed streets that were easy to get turned around on.
Vella!
Bowden cried out again, but this time it almost sounded like a voice answered back before it was choked off.
Did you hear that?
I whispered to the catwoman next to me. Zoe's ears twitched, and her fingers gripped tensely around the handle of her katana-like blade until I could hear the leather creak.
I'm not sure,
she murmured, and we came to a stop between two skinny buildings.
Maybe.
Bowden!
Velralla's unmistakably terrified scream ruptured the air somewhere close by, and for a moment, the catwoman and I stood frozen with shock.
Help!
The second scream had us snapping out of it, and we sprang into action. Now that she'd made some noise, it was somewhat easy to triangulate her position. By the sounds of it, we were nearly on top of her.
Vella!
Bowden shouted again, and he sounded even closer this time. The distraction was just what I needed to steal a guarded peek around the corner of the next intersection.
Shh!
I hissed and stopped Zoe with my arm. I only caught a glimpse, but from what I saw, there were at least three large cloaked figures in the dark alley, and they had the cockatoo woman completely surrounded.
Vella!
Another call from a frantic Bowden sounded like it was getting further away, but before Vel could respond, a deep voice cut her off at the pass.
If you know what's good for you, you'll keep your mouth shut, sweetie,
the mysterious interloper said.
I'm not your sweet anything,
she spat, and I took a chance to peer around the corner again.
Not anymore.
Yes, I heard you were taken in as a charity case after Gordo got his full self killed,
the stranger said.
And we know exactly who to blame for that. Some shriveled dick traveler with a bleeding heart.
Zoe and I pulled back when we had heard enough.
I'm going to confront them, I whispered, as I pulled out one of my blades.
And I will approach from the other end of the alley,
she growled. Good luck, I said.
Don't do anything too inflammatory,
she said, and kissed the tip of my nose.
At least until I get there and take one of the other two out. Hopefully by then, Bowden and Mel will have found us.
I nodded and watched the catwoman slink off into the shadows. Then I cracked my neck from side to side and waited for the moment when I would reveal myself to the mercenary who seemed to be in charge.
Alex Brightwood is a good man, and he will be looking for me soon,
Vel said in a defiant tone.
Good,
the merc said, as he encroached upon her space. And when she tried to smack him away, he snatched her wrist in his thick-looking grip.
When he arrives, I have a bone to pick on behalf of my chief.
When he arrives, you'll rue the day you and your chief crossed him,
she sneered.
I've seen him in action, and if you've ever doubted his reputation, just know everything they say about him is Mercedes' truth.
Except for the laser beam eye powers, I said, as I finally revealed my presence and sauntered into the alley. I don't have that, but could you imagine? The Terminator would have nothing on me.
It's him!
One of the other two goons gasped, and I tried not to snort. Maybe he didn't hear me about the laser eyes not being an issue.
I see that, idiot!
The lead merc grunted, and he released Velralla roughly enough she fell back a step and landed on the ground with a painful oof. The way she hissed and shook out her wrist like it was sprained caused a stab of anger to pierce through me, and I clapped my eyes back on the lumberjack of a man. What is it with dicks like you guys getting off on hurting women? I scoffed. What do you use your bulging muscles for anyway, chasing children and punching little old ladies?
Are you implying I have no honor because I am a no-rank mercenary, unlike an elitist Asher such as yourself?
The large man scowled at me and ripped off the hood, obscuring his face. No, I deadpanned. Are you hard of hearing? I just said you have no honor because you bully and intimidate those who are weaker than you like a fucking coward. Maybe you should fight someone who actually has a chance to put you in your place.
You heard him,
the brawny man knockoff said, as he glanced cockily at each of his two cronies.
It sounds like he's oppressing me. Wouldn't you agree, Corin?
The dingleberry to my left stepped forward and lowered his own hood with a smirk that made the ugly scar on his lower lip contort in a grotesque way.
That's how it sounded like to me,
the merc named Corin grunted out, and his black eyes darted to the third and final member of their bullshit brigade.
What about you, Sevik? Are you feeling oppressed by this duelist here?
The remaining man already had his hood down, and he stood with his arms crossed over his chest with an expression drier than an Arctic tundra.
If you're going to challenge him, Deros, do it already before we're left with the tepid remains of the mead,
the man named Sevik said in a cool and unaffected voice, as if he was annoyed his buddy interrupted his festival time. And if he had anything less than a piping hot mug of mead, heads were prepared to roll. Fuck the big guy. There was something dangerous and sharp-edged to Civic's violet gaze that made my hackles raise, despite the merc's shorter stature. In fact, if he'd had any type of subspecies indicators, I would have guessed his would have manifested as a honey badger, because on the surface he seemed aloof and harmless. But underneath that bored expression, I could tell he could turn savage in an instant. He was 5'2" max, but the second his ice pick eyes clashed with mine, the baser instinct inside of me that recognized a fellow apex predator bared its teeth. The man's lips twitched into a smirk, but I had no choice but to file this away for later because Big D was being a Big D again.
You would do well to hold your tongue, Sevik, or I will tell the chief how it was you who cost us our lost mission when you freed the beast.
Darrow snarled like a saber-toothed tiger.
Don't think I won't, just because you're his adopted son. Please do something instead of just talking about it, Darrow, Civic snapped. Then we all might make it through mid-crescent without holding our breaths.
Then the short man snapped the hood of his cloak over his light brown head and turned on his heels like he was intent on striding out of the alley.
You can't go back to Alda without giving him the intel he requires,
Brawny D said, with a pointed tone, and the other man stilled.
After all, let's not pretend you're here for anything other than that little chatterling.
Sevik straightened his posture and then turned around with that bored expression affixed in place. Carry on, he said with a vapid flick of his fingers, and leaned his shoulder up against the alley wall to ostensibly watch. Are you ladies good, or... I idly twirled my sword around in my hand, mostly to distract the mercenaries, because I spied Zoe as she slipped into the alley from the other end and hid behind some crates. Because I can come back.
Shut up, Brightwood,
the lackey named Corin hissed. And for my trouble, he shoved Vel back to her knees when she struggled to get to her feet.
I'm coming for your ass next, I growled,
but turned my attention back to brawny Deros. Well, what's it gonna be, Dee? I'm assuming you want to duel me, so are you going to shit or get off the pot?
Presumptuous of you to think I care about you or your duelist status,
Darrow scoffed, and he pulled something that looked like an angled machete from the sheath around his waist.
In truth, you are going to tell me what you know about the man whom you dealt with at the auctions when you lowered yourself to purchasing this trash.
To punctuate his last statement, he kicked a heel full of gravel in Velrala's direction, which made her yelp and fling an arm up so she could protect her face. I pursed my lips and took a measured breath through my nose. Man, was I going to kill this asshole so hard. You want to know about the other guy who was trying to outbid me? I asked. Why?
He was acting outside the orders of our chief, and had no right to engage the traders over her.
Darrow sneered at the cockatoo woman. This didn't add up at all, I realized. If these mercs were to be believed, the anonymous bidder wasn't even a duelist, but in order to place any bids, you had to be an Asher. That meant someone either used another duelist stone to get in, or the mercenary clans had found a way to impersonate ranked Ashers. Just another log on the garbage fire of Aventolian corruption. I fail to see how the transgressions of your guy is my problem, I said. In fact, you stealing from me and hurting one of my most valued assets over clan politics that are clearly super illegal in the first place makes me within my rights to kill you.
You cannot enact the duel without at least one witness of yours who isn't an asset or property, or it would be illegitimate for someone of your distinguished status to rain their fury down upon a humble no rank,
Darrow said with a smug smirk.
I don't see anyone who fits that description. Do you, boys?
Definitely not.
Corrin let a creepy grin crawl across his face like a spider.
What about you, Sevik?
Can we just get on with it?
The antisocial merc drawled out from where he was still casually leaning against the stone wall.
Outmatched, Asher,
Darrow said, and twirled his bent machete between the fingers of one hand. Then, with fast reflexes for such a big guy, he bent down, yanked Vel up roughly by her hurt arm, and held the sharp blade against her throat. A movement from the end of the alley caught my eye, and I saw a glimpse of a very familiar painter's cap duck behind the crates, where I knew my catwife was doing her stakeout. That's what you think, I chuckled and returned my blade to its sheath behind my head. Then I held both my hands out and turned them over so they could see my palms. You see these hands? My very much not rhetorical question was met with silence as the mercenaries exchanged confused looks.
What about them?
Darrow barked and pressed the blade even more into Vel's neck, until a trickle of blood escaped and rolled down to her collarbone. It made me clench my jaw, but I took a breath to recenter.
All you need to know is the last time someone took something from me that wasn't theirs, I killed them with these alone.
I raised my hands up even higher for emphasis.
And I didn't need a duel to do it. And even though that man was the magistrate of Gatetown, who do you think the council sided with?
The two buffoons eyed me up and down, and Corrin in particular shifted uncertainly on his feet.
There,
he started to say.
Shut up!
The lumberjack of a man spat, and then shoved the cockatoo woman toward Corrin.
Enough! Alda won't care if we find out what happened to Krev or not, so long as we can make up for the gold Krev cost him. The bitch will do nicely.
That's if you can make it out of this alley with her alive, I remarked, and readied my stance.
Then, like the cocky bastard I was, I held my hand palm up and ticked my fingers in a come-hither type of motion, similar to Neo in The Matrix.
You are an arrogant worm, aren't you?
Darrow snarled, and tossed his blade down where it stuck between two cobblestones and remained upright.
Darrow, what are you doing?
Corrin asked, and I inwardly grinned at the faint trepidation I could hear in his voice.
Don't believe everything you hear from the gossip mill, Cor, the beefy man said, and then cracked his knuckles all in one go. There's no way someone like him could take on so many people just in hand-to-hand like the reports about him claim.
Yeah, it's fine, Cor, I added, just to be an ass. And surprisingly, the young man leaning against the wall snorted out a laugh.
Shut up, you!
Darrow raged at me, and I was secretly pleased my tactic of mentally throwing him off balance was working. Hand to hand or not, the guy was built like a brick shithouse,
and I knew I needed every advantage at my disposal to get him on the back foot. "Come on, Dare Bear. Show me those rippling muscles working on something other than defenseless women," I teased in my most condescending tone. It worked because the jackass came at me like an enraged buffalo.
"I'll show you,"
he roared, and started swinging haymakers left and right until I was forced to leap and dodge. I quickly realized I had to adjust my plan of attack. At first, Deros reminded me a bit of Dagmar, and I planned on letting him wear himself out before going in for the kill. But after about a solid few minutes of him coming at me with no room to breathe, I realized I either underestimated his stamina or how seriously I'd pissed him off. That, plus the confines of the narrow alley, limited my full range of motion, so I had to get creative.
"Who is the coward now?"
Deros accused, after I ducked under him when he tried to wrap his thick fingers around my throat.
"Fight me!"
I sidestepped and kicked him in his right leg, and my foot immediately started to throb like I'd just kicked a concrete pole. Dagmar had a bum knee, which ended up being the key I needed to take him down. But it was clear Deros had no such affliction. In fact, it was almost as if he was rooted into the ground like General Sherman in Sequoia National Park. He wasn't going anywhere fast.
"Rah!"
the man bellowed, and I sidestepped and brought my arm up to block the blow meant for my head. His fist glanced off my shoulder instead, and just my luck, my foot got caught on the blade Deros left stuck in the ground, and I fell hard on my side. For his stature, Deros was deceivingly quick, and before I could fully recover or get back to my feet, the man was already trying to get me into a submission hold. When I felt his arm try to wrap around my throat, my adrenaline shot through the roof, and I was catapulted straight into a time trance without any preparation. Tick. The world rapidly slowed and gave me a gut drop sensation with how quickly I tumbled into it, and I felt like I just took an icy plunge into some powerful whitewater rapids. I hadn't felt the shock of the full brunt of the time trance for a while, because lately I'd been working on controlling the release of the power inside of me. All that meditation and focus allowed me to treat the mysterious inherent power like light through an aperture, and I was slowly learning how to control how much of it came through. Tick. The way the power exploded out of me now left me breathless, and I slammed my eyes shut when I realized I had no way of containing it and just held on for the ride. Tick.
Rah!
In a blink, Deros was suddenly across from me, and I was somehow back on my feet where I started before the fucker knocked me off kilter with one of his gorilla-like arms. It was like the past few seconds never even happened. There was no time to really contemplate this impossible fuckery at the moment, so I took it for what it was and reacted by ducking the blow meant for my head and zipping straight through the idiot's tree trunk legs so I could pop up on the other side of him. Then, before he could turn fully around, I kicked the blade, which was now stuck in the ground again because apparently I never did trip on the thing, right into Deros's path. He stepped on the flat of the metal blade mid-turn and slipped as it skidded along the cobblestones with a sharp ring. And when he went down, I took my chance and snap-kicked him right in the chin. Because he was so big, the kick only stunned him, but that was all I needed in order to get him in a rear naked choke. From there, it was 6 seconds of correctly applied pressure to knock him out, one sharp twist to break his neck, and Dickbag Deros was no more. I panted as I let his dead body fall to the ground, and I fought the sudden hysterical urge to sing the only lyric of that "We're Yellin' Timber" song that I knew. Instead, I used the moment of stunned silence to breathe through the incredible rush surging through my head so I wouldn't pass the fuck out.
"Deros!"
Corrin yelled, and made as if he wanted to charge at me, but he was suddenly pinned in place when Zoe threw one of her knives and stuck his cloak to the ground.
"Not so fast,"
she said with her katana drawn, and Mel and Bowden appeared behind her wielding 2 quarterstaffs that came from Mercedes Newware.
"Let go of the woman and you just might be able to leave this alley with your life."
Bowden's normally mild-mannered expression was contorted into a fierce glare that promised unfettered violence at any moment. And even I was a little intimidated by it, especially when he growled in the back of his throat.
"Unlock your friend."
Corrin made the smart choice and let go of Vel as he raised his hands up in surrender.
Odin!
Velralla sobbed, and the raccoon man dropped the quarterstaff so he could catch her in his arms.
Vella! Oh, Vella!
He murmured, and pulled away so he could examine her from head to toe. Just like my cat wife was doing to me. Which was nice, but totally unnecessary, because I was definitely...
Alex!
Zoe gasped as I sank to my knees. Okay, so maybe I wasn't definitely fine, just kind of fine. Okay, kitten, I sighed, and then smiled when she cupped my burning face with her cool hands.
You're not,
she said. But she pulled something small and round out of the leather pouch attached to her armored corset and popped it into my mouth. The savory flavors of prime rib and horseradish exploded over my taste buds, and I recognized the little thing as a goba nut, one of the cooler medicinal plants on Nada that had the power to restore someone temporarily.
How did you do that?
Sevik asked from where he was still watching everything, and I startled a little because I almost forgot about him.
I would have thought you'd have taken off by now, Corin snarled. That's usually what you do when things get violent.
The young man ignored his companion, and he continued to stare at me with his violet eyes, as if we were just strangers making polite conversation with one another at a bus stop or in line at the bank.
Wouldn't you like to know, I mumbled,
and I tucked the goba nut into the pocket of my cheek as Zoe helped me back to my feet.
I would, actually,
Sevik said, with a placidly amused expression.
Thus the purpose of me asking.
Not going to tell you, nuh-uh, I said like a petulant five-year-old, as the properties of the magical nut started to hit me and make everything look all shiny and hilarious. Especially Corin with his stupid, scrunchy, sucked lemon face.
If you know what's best for you, you'll get out of here while you can,
Zoe snapped.
Tell your chief what happens when someone decides to target Asher Brightwood, and if you're really wise, you'll both go now before one or all of us changes our minds.
Sevik smirked, but by the way his eyes froze over like two chips of ice, I could tell he wasn't a happy camper. Although he didn't look like the camping type, so that might be moot. It was probably because this kid never tried s'mores or was hugged enough, one of the two.
Wow, these nuts were good.
Alex?
Zoe said. Oh, I mumbled. Was that out loud?
Spit,
she said, and I obediently opened my mouth so the tricky little nut could fall to the ground.
Yes, well, come along, Corin,
Sevik said with an unimpressed look on his marble face.
They should be almost done cooking the mead by now.
What about Deros?
The other man asked, as he pulled his cloak free of Zoe's knife with a loud rip.
And we still don't know what happened to Krev!
For the record, I butted in, now that the haze from the goba nut was lifting. Gelavane was the one who killed him and gained a fifth rank status in the process.
That's impossible,
Sevik said sharply.
Krev entered the auctions on fake credentials.
Well, he must have been a real Asher, because the duel is recorded. And on top of that, when I killed Vane, that same status was transferred to me, I answered.
Interesting,
Sevik mused, as he regarded me from head to toe.
This'll be plenty enough for Alder to go on.
So we aren't going to kill him?
Corin asked.
I don't know, Cor. Deros tried to be stupid with zero success. But feel free to give it a go.
The young man gestured to me as if he didn't care either way. Corin looked between me and the corpse of the dead man and made the first smart decision all day by shuffling over to Sevik's side like a docile cow. Are you sure? I goaded, just to see him wince and look away.
Yes. Fear my laser eyes.
Sevik snorted in disgust and turned to exit the alley. But before he could slip away, he stopped with his back to me.
You better take care of who you piss off, Asher, the young man said. The clans already hate your kind. And at the rate you're going, you're just convincing them even more that you're a danger to the balance of power and need to be dealt with.
Is that a threat? I questioned. No, he shrugged. It is a fact. I glared after the pair of punks and watched them disappear into the busy thoroughfare as my mind churned over the new revelations I'd learned from this confrontation. So many loose ends were coming to light, but I couldn't connect anything yet. All I knew was that sooner or later this was going to come back around and bite me in the ass.
In the meantime, I would just have to carry on the way I was and keep looking over my shoulder like I'd always done. For now, the sound of a large cannon boomed over the palace square, and it forced me to put all this out of my mind for now, because the festival was about to start.